is the Orange County Workforce Development Board November 14, 2023 special meeting. Appreciate y'all being here on the Green Bell. My name is Annalisa Lukes, and let's go ahead and stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
As a reminder, we are recording this meeting, and we'll go ahead and go to item number three on the agenda, board member roll call. I'll turn it over to Nancy and staff.
Gloria Alvarado. Kathy Boyd.
Present.
Rob Claudio.
Here.
Steve Curiel.
Here.
Mike Daniel. Barry Hanlon. William Hewitt. Rajesh Jha.
Yes.
Annalisa Lukes.
Present.
Doug Mangione.
Here.
Carlos Oregon.
Present.
Todd Sword. And Randy Weber. And we do not have anything.
Pardon me?
We do not have four.
Okay. We'll go ahead and move on. I know that one of our board members is on his way here. At this time, we'll move over to item number four, public comment. Nancy, are there any public comments at this time? Okay. All right. So shall I go ahead and pause at this moment because we are going to take action on anything else? Oh, I think it's in my.
Okay. Everybody's walking in the front door. It was my new weaver this morning.
Okay, we got more.
Mike Daniel?
Yeah.
And Bill Hewitt? Present.
Hey.
Bill, you're over here.
Thank you.
Give everybody a moment to settle. Let's go back again. Letting everyone settle. There any public comments at this time?
No.
Okay. Wonderful. Okay, so we have five items. On our agenda, our short agenda today, we had a big part of it will be towards the meeting calendar. Our objective is as follows: we need to make sure that we will have gotten through 8 and 9 by the end of today's meeting in order to move us over to the new year. All right, let's move over to action item 5 on the agenda, OCWDB work experience policy. I'll go ahead and turn it over to Nancy for background.
So the work experience policy was minor revisions. All the procedures and policies were the same. The only update was to clarify that the $17 per hour was for all WECS opportunities and not just the Earn and Learn program. We've included a red line for your reference.
Okay, great. I'll go ahead and entertain a motion to approve and then a second, and then we'll discuss.
So moved.
Okay. By Bill, second by Rob. Any discussion relative to this action item? Okay. All right. Seeing hearing none, I'll go ahead and call to a vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Let's move on to item number six, OCWDB incumbent worker training policy. Turn it over to Nancy.
This was also minor revisions. We removed procurement language that is no longer relevant since we brought business services in-house, updated some logos, and we included employer eligibility language to align with all of our other training policies. There was one additional modification form that was not present current before, but we added it. And that's it.
Staff recommendation to review and approve this revised worker training policy. I'll go ahead and entertain a motion to approve this recommendation.
So moved.
Moved by Carlos or a second?
Kathy.
Second by Kathy. All right, any discussion?
Just a question. Can you clarify the employer eligibility?
Yes, so I'm going to do that.
Is this the one that she's printing?
Yes.
We've come back to that because we've got the red lines being printed right now. Oh. So I can provide you with a design.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions or discussion on this item? Would you like me to go back to this on the agenda in a few minutes?
If it's over, that's like, okay. Yeah.
Okay. We can do that.
It's being printed right now. Sorry.
Okay, no worries. So we'll go ahead and postpone that and we'll move forward with item 7 on the agenda, which is the individual training account policy with a recommendation from staff to review and approve the revision.
Okay. So there's no change to the process. The intent for updating this policy was to align with the other local workforce boards. Currently, Anaheim and Santa Ana are also bringing this to their board to up the IT individual training account cap to be 10,000 with waivers with directed review and approval thereafter. So currently, none of the boards are at the same level. So this will bring us all into alignment within the region.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion to approve the recommendation.
So
moved by Rob, is there a second?
Second
by Doug. Any discussion?
Is there a trend for these costs, what they're going to be over the current amount?
There is. So currently our amount is 6,500 and the healthcare and the IT sectors are about $8,400 to $9,000. Some are in the $11,000 range. So we just want to make sure that we're keeping up with the cost of the training.
Okay. Any other conversation or discussion around this item? I'm curious as to historically, how frequently does this change or evolve?
So Santa Ana, they were based at, I think, 7,000 since 2012. So they hadn't had an update until they realized the cost of training. She was spending a lot of her time signing waivers because all the cost of training was exceeding that low amount. So we're all trying to get on the same page. Anaheim was at 8,000. And so they are also going back up to 10,000. So we should be able to cover the majority of those sector partnership trainings with the 10,000 cap with very minor waivers needed thereafter.
Yes.
Wow. So you take into account, is it all industries, all training programs? So, or some might not be pushing that. Others, do you know which ones are typically the ones that are
healthcare and IT specifically? Okay. And there was some security trainings as well. Okay. So we're all kind of raising the inflation, I guess.
Yeah.
I have one more question.
Yes, absolutely.
What does the individual training account really mean?
So it means that per participant in our real programs, they're allowed to have that much spent on their training for their program life.
So 1 year or?
Well, however long the training takes. So some are 18 months, some are 9 months, depending on what the training costs.
Okay. Bill excused himself at 8:50. All right, any other discussion or questions regarding this agenda item? Here, yes.
So I know there's it's not really relevant to the decision, but just if the process when, and I was reading in here about the importance of choice for the participant, how does that play out, I guess, when you're looking at, let's say they want a program that's $10,000 versus another one that's $1,000.
That's a great question. Yeah. So each caseworker brings forth, they say, I want to do nursing. And so they'll research several options and find out which components this person is looking for, what meets their needs. So we don't really go based on like price and try to get them to choose based on price. It's more what they're looking for and find those options. But we do come up with several options before we decide.
So they got to come up with a few.
Yes.
And then they said, this is the one I want, that this is what I want, whether
absolutely.
It's location.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So that process is the same. It's always been.
And in the event that there is a participant whose training exceeds this amount, we then sign a waiver anyway.
We would review it and sign a waiver and make sure there's value to the training. There's an RN training that's like $25,000. No one's gone there for that. But there are trainings that exceed $10,000.
Any other questions?
Since we're on that topic, all of those trainings are the ones that are in iTrain?
Correct. Great question.
And for the sake of those of us who might be new, iTrain?
Eligibility training for our list. And it's made by South Bay
Within.
Great.
Other question?
Yes. No.
So raising the cost or the amount, but is that, are you still projecting to stay within the budget of whatever you have allocated?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We have more than enough to cover.
More than enough to cover.
And one more thing.
Yes.
For iTrain, because I'm hearing from a lot of different people, like the colleges and things like that, who want to submit a program to be qualified under iTrain. Is there a step-by-step that we have available for people?
We could definitely pull that together for you.
Just so I can, other board member, let them know where to find that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Great. Any other questions, discussion, comments, feedback? All right, hearing and seeing none, we'll go ahead and call to a vote. All in favor of approving the recommendation, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Yeah, I don't see Bill in the room, but it still matters, right? It still counts as a motion. Okay. All right, we'll go ahead and move on to item 8 on the agenda, which is the election of officers. I'm going to turn it over to Francis. And
I can go back to 6.
Let me go back to item 6, which is incumbent worker training.
Sorry, I had to pull it up to give me the exact item. So those three things, which are as far as the employer eligibility. They must provide a valid California employee account number, so that way we know they're, you know, recognized by the state. They must also provide wages and benefits levels of those employees, both pre and post training earnings, so that way there's they're not paying them differently in the training than when if they get the position after the training. And then they must provide industry recognized credentials or investment opportunities for the employees.
Okay, thank you. When I heard eligibility, I'm like, so thank you for clarifying.
Shall we go ahead and call it to a vote? Any other questions or comments regarding item 6 on the agenda? Hearing and seeing none, go ahead and call to a vote. All in favor of staff's recommendation, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion carries unanimously. Okay, let's go ahead and move over to item 8 on the agenda, which is the election of officers. Turning it over to Nancy and Sweeney.
Hope you're
doing the
election. Hi, Monica, I have only met all of you yet, but I'll be facilitating your meetings in the future. So I'll open up the election for 2024. You will be voting on the positions of chairperson, first vice chairperson, and second vice chairperson. Per the bylaws, terms for officers of the Orange County Workforce Development Board shall be for 1 year effective January 1st, 2024. At this time, nominations for chairperson will be taken from the floor. Members can self-nominate or nominate another member of Orange County Workforce Development Board. Are there any nominations?
Yes, I would like to nominate Annalisa Lukes if she accepts the nomination.
I'll second.
Just some background to that, you know, I know that she's been the vice chair for several years and has worked very closely with the prior chair. There's a lot of institutional knowledge that, you know, she brings forth as part of her role in that capacity. So I think it would be great if she could, you know, continue in that leadership.
Thank you.
I
will accept.
Okay. Are there any other nominations? Seeing that there's no further nominations, all in favor of Annalisa for chairperson, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Does anyone abstain? So we'll approve for Annalisa as chairperson. At this time, nominations for first vice chairperson will be taken from the floor. Members can self-nominate or nominate another member of Dallas County Workforce Development Board. Are there any nominations?
At this time, I'd like to nominate Rob Claudio to be the first vice chair of this board. Rob, as many of you know, has been serving on this board for 16 years.
I remember in dog years, it's like 200.
And come spring, will have been serving on the Municipal Services Grant or different departments with 30 to be used.
Yeah.
So talking about institutional, 7 and dog years of the 200, and having that knowledge and just deep understanding of the work that we do, I think would be an added value to our organization.
I'll second that.
Are there any further nominations? No? Okay, all in favor of Rob Claudio for first vice chairperson, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And then does anyone abstain? Okay, all Claudio for first vice chairperson. And then at this time, nominations for second vice chairperson will be taken from the floor. Members can self-nominate or nominate another member of Orange County Workforce Development Board. Are there any nominations?
Well, at this time, I'd like to share that Todd Swart from Southern California Edison has expressed interest in serving as second vice chair.
Yeah. He's been there before, too.
Yes. He's been on it for at least 8, maybe 10 years.
Yeah.
And also having that relationship with utilities as we transition in California. Add value. Everybody adds value to the team. He's expressed interest.
Second.
Does he have to be present?
Does he have to be present to?
As long as he accepts.
As long as he accepts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And that happens a lot if somebody's not at the meeting. I've seen it happen. They don't know what hit them.
Are there any further nominations? All in favor for Todd Swart for a second chairperson? Say aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? And does anybody abstain? So for Todd's board, if he accepts the nomination, then it would be first, second vice chairperson.
Save him a donut. When you present it.
And that concludes the elections.
Again, this is for a term of 1 year, and we will also be engaging you on the subcommittee or committee level. So there are plenty of opportunities to participate. Thank you all for your support, and we're all in this together at one team. Appreciate that. All right, let's move on to item 9 on the agenda, which is our meeting calendar for next year. Love to get your feedback around this, and it is required that we make a decision as a team before the end of today's meeting. I'd like to get some background here, please.
Currently, there's two options being presented to the board. One is a quarterly meeting with subcommittees within those quarterly meetings as well on those months. The other option is to meet 7 times a year on a almost monthly, going dark in July and December, with twice a year standing committee meetings. Those are the two options in front of the board this morning.
And we can discuss this.
Yeah, you can discuss it. Absolutely. So the different options with the monthly meetings, you would get more real-time data, yes, more performance, like as it's happening versus quarterly, like in arrears.
Yeah.
So we'd love to get your thoughts. Let's go ahead and entertain a motion first, and then the second, and then we'll discuss your motion to review the calendar options for 2024.
Second.
By Steve, is there a second?
Second
by Carl. Now let's discuss.
If I could just add,
yes,
those are just options. So you could really pick whatever it is you do. We do need to meet at a minimum of quarterly.
Okay.
And then when it comes to the subcommittees, at least once a year. So you can really, those are just two options. We couldn't provide every option, no. But as you discussed, just please keep that in
mind. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Renee. As Nancy said, one of the thoughts around why is making sure the board has access to fresh data and that we're providing staff with as much fresh information as we have from the field. So that's one of the reasons for that. Also, the intention is to potentially shorten up those meetings a little bit more frequently.
Right.
In terms of, we don't have to discuss location, but we will definitely make sure that we hear your feedback and make it as simple as possible, maybe even meeting somewhere in between if we had.
And it's time of meeting as well.
Time is also open. Okay, great. So why don't we truncate this and bifurcate it first with which option do we want? Do we want to stay with quarterly? Do we want to make it every other month? And keep in mind, if for whatever reason, staff says, listen, we're not really having to adjudicate anything at this point, we can always cancel and postpone it to the next meeting, as has happened in the past. So it's not as though what we pick here is something we're all for making sure that we're spending time together in a meaningful, strategic, and I think So let's see. Any comments or thoughts or feedback for one or the other at this point?
I'm a fan of quarterly and possibly even quarterly subcommittee meetings, but that's just one idea on the table.
I know we've operated quarterly throughout my entire time here. One of the things I think that we dive into a lot is the performance, either the individuals, going through training, or the performance of the vendors, or whoever the service provider is, and trying to make sure that they keep on track so that they meet their performance goal before the end of their contract. I think every other month would be my suggestion for that particular perspective, because when you get to a quarterly, it's only the staff that's managing the performance without the input of the board members or the knowledge of the board members that somebody would be falling behind. And when you're meeting a little bit more closely, you're more in tune to ensure that people are actually meeting their performance, whatever it is that they signed up as a service provider. And then obviously, to try to keep the success of the participants in mind, so that, we're doing everything that we can timely to ensure that people, are exiting the program successfully and meeting, the performance criteria. So that would be my suggestion. The what goes with that is I belong to the Service Delivery and Performance Committee, and we spent a good amount of time in those committees. I think you were part of ours there. Going into those, particular, items of, performance and, outcomes, with business services and those types of things. So if you were to go to every other month, maybe incorporating a little bit more time in that meeting, and then yes, you can then defer the SDMP committee to maybe twice a year to maybe do some more strategic planning of performance for the remainder of the year, and then at the mid-year mark as well. But yeah, if you were to do it that way, then you can incorporate a little bit more time to discuss. And then hopefully, I know that we have a number of new board members. It gives us an opportunity for them to ask more questions, because I always would sit next to whomever and I'd always have a sidebar. People asking me, well, what does this really mean? And I'm not sure that I understand this entered employment rate from 2 years ago. I don't know how that is calculated. So I was trying to kind of help people understand that. But if you do it more frequently, I think it may allow the people to have a better understanding of their decision-making process as it relates to the management of these funds, which is very important. That's just my point.
Kind of gives you more muscle memory.
Yeah, 3 months,
we forgot.
Yeah,
I agree with everything Rob had said. So I guess it's 33 years, this might be first 40. Right? So 100% agree with everything you said.
All right.
Yeah, I would third that and add that, in terms of employment in our school district, we struggle to find not only teachers, but bus drivers, cafeteria workers, clerical staff. So we're, I don't know if that's still the case in general, that the employment's hard to get people, but if we can be more often to help add and give you guys input to meet the need, that would be helpful.
I think what we're getting to, the quarterly meetings, by the time we get to them, I think people do forget, but if we meet in the same month, if the board meets the same month as the subcommittees, it's two meetings a month and everybody's meeting down. I mean, what if what if the board was every other month and is that what they're saying? Subcommittees every other month on the off month. So then at least we have one meeting a month, but we stay very current and they can report at the next meeting.
Yeah.
Because two meetings every other month.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I could make room for one meeting a month.
So if I'm hearing, it seems, and would love to hear from everyone. Is there anyone for whom moving from quarterly to potentially seven, it could also be six, doesn't have to be seven, it could be six, right? Is there anyone for whom that might be a challenge? You don't have to answer now, but you can certainly share at some point, because we want to make sure there's maximum engagement and participation. That's the whole point of it. But we also realize that probably when people were being asked to consider joining, you asked, well, how frequently was the meeting? So try to be mindful of the logistics. But along those lines, we'd love to ask either from Nancy and or Renee, based on your experience also overseeing other commissions and boards, right? How often do they meet and what sort of, is there a trend?
So we have a Senior Citizen Advisory Board meeting and also our Veterans Services Office, and they meet monthly. But remember, the county is dark in July and December, so there's really only 10 meetings. So if it were every other month, we're talking about five meetings a year.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Versus four, which is what it is.
Okay. Right, which would be just the plus one. Correct me if I'm wrong, I seem to be hearing a bit of a consensus that increasing it from four or quarterly to higher every other month is something that people are feeling okay about. Am I hearing that okay? All right. So,
I like his suggestion of staggering the committees every other month. That doesn't have a general board meeting.
Right.
That gives me one meeting.
So let's bifurcate that. It sounds like the first part of the conversation, which are the full board meetings, we want to up from quarterly to now a higher level. So let me go step two, 1A or 1B of that, which is how frequently, if it's not quarterly, do we want to do it? Currently on your plan, we have January, March, May, June, August, October, November. Keeping in mind, county is dark July and December. Do you want to retain this? Do we want to take one out? Any thoughts or feedback around that?
I'd just like to add, I'm just curious on the housekeeping of the board itself. I know there's been a lot of changes.
Yeah.
And we're talking about a lot of performance items on other, what we support today. But there's been a lot of open items that the board is responsible for. There's been a lot of structure in the past with regards to training and, how we're doing the logos. But I'm just curious if that exists in the schedule based on the agenda, the strategic planning that we're talking about today, or those additional meetings that we would have to have to discuss on separate meetings.
Good point. We have discussed peripherally and along with Renee as well. Again, the intention is to have gatherings that are meaningful and will be of great use of everyone's time, so that there had been a suggestion early in October that perhaps when we get CWA, for example, here to come back, it would be in place, and correct me if I'm wrong, Renee, of a scheduled meeting so that we're not doubling up on those types of meetings.
That would be the goal, but you always have the opportunity to call a special meeting should something come up that's kind of negative. So it's not prohibited.
And with the 10 meetings, I think there should be one more board meeting. What if let's say we kept the committees at the quarter, February, May, August, and November, and then the board meetings could be January, March, April, June. And then we could do double September and October, maybe. Or we do a September and November. No, that'll be two meetings. Yeah, we could double up. We could do September and October for. Then we have five board meetings and four committee meetings.
And here's my thought, and maybe the committee meetings. Do we have the option? Does everything have to be in person? I know the board meetings typically do, but does the committee have to be in person?
Yes, they're governed by the Brown Act. But the requirement is once per year at this point. So
I just thought that maybe
for sure.
How about to structure the conversation? Let's focus on and sort of get a consensus around the full board, and then let's tackle the quarterly.
Right.
Then we can combine. So as it relates to the full board meetings, the current proposal has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 meetings. Is there anybody who it's easier to just kind of turn it around. Is there anyone who objects to the 7 meeting structure, i.e. would like to have less than 7 meetings?
Is it that every other month is what we talked about?
It would be almost every other month. So it would be January, March, skip April, We go to May and June, skip July, August, skip September, and then October, November. I'll just put it out there. Is there anybody who would object if we struck October? And is there any strategic reason why we would have an October, November?
I think November with Thanksgiving, you're putting it toward the end of the month.
Yeah.
We're going to run into one or another. It's going to be, holidays. October is like probably better than November.
Okay. Yeah. So
you can always move it to a different day, too. You're not bound to the last.
We can move
you're not bound to the last Wednesday.
I'm curious to know from staff's perspective, is there any strategic or operational reason why we would want to meet in November? As a last,
to make sure that we vote on the mandated.
We would potentially do the election as well as the meeting calendar in October, which is doable.
Yeah.
Still prepared. Nothing wrong with that.
13th or something. A little more to the middle of the month.
Yeah, I would recommend that.
But if you look at it, that's only a 2-week variance from end of October to middle of November. So why not just push those agenda items to October, leave room if need be, but have an intention to make that forum and get done with business for the following year.
In October.
Have that be the final prep.
End of year meeting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts, objections, comments?
Would we, just to clarify that, so then are we saying that end of year would also be the strategic planning agenda item for the upcoming year?
It could potentially. I know that one conversation that we have is having CWA come back at the beginning of the year. So we haven't structured exactly what the content will be, and we want to get feedback around it. But I would suggest that we either do it before the beginning of the new calendar year or at the very, very top of the new calendar year. Currently, I mean, this is still a transition year. But we're going to move quickly in order to get to some of those points as early in the calendar year as practicable,
right,
with schedules aligning and whatnot.
Yeah.
So I don't have a full answer to that just yet, but open to suggestions.
Well, the only reason I ask is we're contemplating the number of meetings we're going to have for the full board, and there is no plan potentially to, because we don't do retreats in this particular board, which I'm more used to, where we come up with a strategic plan for the meeting we're going to have. I'm just curious what we're talking about specifically on page versus the agenda item for those.
I mean, it could be, and I can see us creating the structure whereby the October last meeting is truly in preparation for the upcoming year, since we already have two agenda items that are relevant to that topic. It could be that it becomes more fully developed to be that, but it's also going to be the end of Q3 for the team. So there's going to be some reporting, which is needed, but perhaps it can be a hybrid, or we could have a two-part meeting that's focused on strategy. It doesn't just have to be one. It could be the August and October, wrapping up in October. So, yes.
I just have a question about calendar year.
Yeah.
The funding mechanisms that support this, is it on a fiscal year? Is it on a calendar year? Is it on a government?
Yeah, it's fiscal July 1 to June 30.
That's what I did. So it
locally,
would be difficult.
Locally, meaning county. But the funding that comes from Fed is October 1, September 30. But that
wasn't. So it would be difficult to develop a strategic planning thing without knowing what the cards are being dealt. So.
Yeah, I'm trying to think now. Ordinarily, what time frame do we look at the budget? Because budget drives.
I think your funding usually is coming. They're always like 2 months behind the
We'll typically know what the next program year's funding is going to be in like March, April, for July 1.
Yeah. Okay.
So about 2-3 months prior to, we'll know what allocation we have coming.
And then ordinarily, at what point does this board get visibility over that?
Typically in like March, April, depending on when if we go with the quarterly approach, it would probably be the May board meeting.
Okay.
If we're going with the bi-monthly, it'd be probably the March meeting.
We could still do, to Bill's point, strategic planning and then account for any increases or decreases in funding as a result. So you could still say, we'd like to target this or look at that. Keep our attention on things. And then if the funding changes, then you adjust. But at least you put some planning together to be strategic about it. And then I know this past year, this goes back to, I think, Carlos's original point. We had a lot of different meetings, but it was also because we had the regional plan that was due. We had the marketing. Special meetings. So I don't, you know, luckily the regional plan is 2 years out now. I think we're okay now with our marketing, you know, strategies. So I don't anticipate having a lot of these extra meetings that we ended up with this past year. So it'll be a little bit easier to, I think, calendar.
Yeah, I do like the idea of allocating a certain amount of time, whether it's in one or maybe multiple meetings, strategy, right? Yeah. So, and kind of harness the strength and the power of the experience of the people who are in this room, including not limited staff and board members, and even go as far as perhaps, and this is now going beyond, we'll go back to the goal in a moment. But, you know, perhaps, and we did this in the Business Services Committee, allocating a certain amount of time in the agenda for strategy, as opposed to just reporting out, and think through, and then making sure that that's captured and gets discussed at the next thing with some potential action items. The end of the day, we're driven by action.
Yeah, and that's where we could look at our regional plan, because we have metrics in there saying, you know, we're going to be targeting this, you know, and we can review at that point.
Yeah.
Did we actually meet that, or where did we fall short?
Maybe? Yeah.
How could we readdress?
So to go back to your original question, TBD as to when the strategy conversation or conversations would happen, but we would like it to happen for sure, and kind of go more in that kind of a direction, unless there are here any objection otherwise. But let's go ahead and go back to the call of the question at this point, which is, is there a motion to approve at this point? Well, let's not do that, because the motion is for both. But is there anybody who objects to having the full board meeting as suggested on the second grid that is in the packet, which would then be January, March, May, June, August, October, and then November? We discussed maybe striking November. Okay. Is there any objection to striking November and therefore having only six meetings? Hearing none? Okay. So is there a consensus that we want to do six meetings with the last meeting in October? We'll define the structure and the content of that. We'd love to get your feedback on that as well. So that's one part. Now let's go over to the committee meetings. By law, we need to have at least one. Current system is quarterly. This suggestion, and again, it can be modified, is twice a year. So first, let's think about, do we want to maintain four times a year, or do we want to go to twice a year? And then we'll figure out the when.
To Rob's point, Rob, you feel that, and you feel that the committees are very important, correct?
Yeah, you know what? Because not everybody, you know, those that participate in the committees are not, you know, typically, you know, sometimes it's not the same. You know, you have the committee members that are not, you know, that are part of the board, and vice versa. We have what, three standing committees? Four. So it's executive.
Yeah.
Business services,
youth.
So I find youth, though, was advisory, not a standing committee.
The opportunity to take a look at those, maybe at the strategic, next strategic meeting, if these are the subcommittees that you need to have. So I think that there's an opportunity to change it.
I mean, both oversight and business services are probably two of the more important things.
Yeah.
How do you connect business to this? Because I think that's the missing component in any on-the-job training or anything we do. Maybe the executive board doesn't need to meet as much, and the youth committee doesn't need to meet much. Maybe you do those twice a year. You know, and but maybe the other ones, Rob, because you're on those. I'm not on. If they're more important, maybe they do four.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, everything doesn't have to be all the time.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't mind doing the twice a year on the committee, because we would devote more time, because we're meeting more often,
mm-hmm.
to discuss the actual performance.
Performances.
Yeah. And then
you don't want that to lag.
No. And then that way it's a relevant conversation that's timely. We could also address any of the business service, you know, issues that may be pertinent for us to, you know, make some decisions on. And then that way we don't over meeting.
Yeah.
And we'll be like to other organizations.
We want the interactions to be meaningful. Mm-hmm. And keep in mind too, the bylaws do say that if they were in need for an ad hoc committee for a special topic, we can do that. There's a special meeting, we can do that. Try to avoid that as much as possible to honor people's commitments. But what if I'm hearing two is okay?
Yeah.
What if we were, and let me know what your thoughts are, what if we were, instead of the May, put the committee meetings in April, and instead of November, put that in September?
Yeah. And that way it doesn't over.
And then in this way, it would give us Q1 to define who's going to be on the committee. The who is the most important thing, right? First who, then what. So gives us Q1 of 24 to figure out who will participate in what. And then by April, we will have more of the what, because now we've got the who. Strike May, right, except for board meeting. It gives us, as a full board, to respond to and absorb content from the committee meetings in April. It gives us in June as well. We're dark in July. And then it gives us another time to meet as a committee in September and gives us October to discuss.
Yeah.
The final.
Yeah.
Any,
I like that.
You like that?
Yep.
Is there anyone who doesn't like that, would like to propose something else? So, Bill, we're looking at for the committee meetings twice a year in the months of April and September.
Okay. Is that adequate to provide the information necessary? Because I haven't been there.
Yeah. And that's part of the feedback that we have been discussing is how do we make the most out of the time together? Right. And so not have it just be repetitive or reporting out, but really more strategic. And I think the consensus is yes, that would be adequate.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Yeah. Steve, yeah. Mike?
Yeah. No. and then also I would add the staff, you know, we look at performance, you know, of our programs like when we meet, but they're looking at it every day. So if there's any kind of a red flag, you know, that, you know, needs to be addressed, you know, I'm sure they'll let us know that there's an issue that, you know, may be forthcoming, and it'll be on our radar by the time we get to it. I mean, so we have some kind of advance notice.
So what I'm hearing behind all of these intentions is being more proactive.
Yeah.
Right. Which is a great thing to be. I would support that. All right. So now I think we have enough to take a motion from the floor for the following motion, which is to revise our meeting calendar for 2024 as follows. Have full board meetings in the months of January, March, May, June, August, and October, and have committee meetings in the months of April and September. Is there a motion?
I'll move.
Moved by Doug. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Carlos. Now discussing. Should have done that. Any more discussion?
Well, I just have a question. No,
yes.
Meeting in November. Then.
Strike the meeting in November. Yeah.
Enjoy Thanksgiving.
Enjoy Thanksgiving. So,
yeah.
Right now, August and October are the critical planning time frame.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully, we have a little bit of carved out time for every single meeting to talk about plan and measuring against plans. And we'll determine the structure on that as we go along. All right. So, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All, any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Job done. Yes.
Time. Do you want to talk about the time?
Let's go ahead. timing, and do we want to do locations at this point? All right, timing.
Location.
So currently the times for the meetings, except for the business services, start at 8:30.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to make anybody happy, whether you're in North County, South County, or even West, having an 8:30 start. If there was any way to do it somewhere in the middle of the day, like 1:30, that may give us an opportunity to have a less of a commute issue and get out before people have to commute longer as well.
May I make a recommendation? Because then, one, if it's a 2 or 1 hour and a half meeting, then you've got traffic. What if we were to do midday, either 10 or 11 ish, where
I'm okay with
theoretically
that.
People are kind of.
Yeah,
and 11 goes through lunch.
Mm-hmm. But how about 10 o'clock?
10 or
exact.
We can get done in 2 hours. That'd be
yeah.
Yeah.
And then people can get together.
I think the idea at the beginning of the day was before anybody got started doing anything, you
yeah.
come to the meeting and then you have your rest of the day. I know sometimes we have meetings in LA and they call them for 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and your whole day is shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I wouldn't be in favor of 9, gives you a little more traffic time. But the middle of the day sometimes really gets you. And then at the end of the day, you don't know what your day looked like that day. You know, you could have problems.
Yeah.
So I do tend to think the beginning is better, and then you have the rest of the day for, you know, for your day job.
Good logic. Yeah.
But 8:30 is maybe 9 o'clock.
Day job, y'all.
Yes, it's amazing.
No, thank you.
I would prefer as late in the day as possible because the way my energy works, the morning is the most precious time. I get a lot of work done.
Oh, okay. And like Rob said, I'm not going to make everyone happy.
No.
We'll just deal with it.
We're just trying to ensure that.
And I could deal with any.
Yeah. Let's make sure to hear from everyone. So I'll just go do round robin. Carlos and the thoughts. Flexible, Bill.
As long as we're holding a ball here in
I second that.
I prefer the 9 to 11 or 10 to 12.
But... I do too.
Yeah. 10 to 12 works, and then I think it also may allow for people to just have the aura so that we can actually have the meeting.
Right.
Because I think what we run into is, we get there, but it's only a part of us and then we can't go through the meeting.
Right. And we want to avoid that.
Yeah.
Because again, the intention is to have meaningful interaction.
Yeah.
I would be, and I hear exactly what you're saying, but if I were to carve out that amount of time, I'm just a planner anyways, I'll figure out it, make it through the day. I like the 10 to 12, but I hear what you're saying as well.
Yeah. The closer you get to lunch or like 1 o'clock, you can get stuck at a lunch meeting and you're done.
Yeah.
I'll deal with 10, but I like the 9 o'clock. I get over here, get it done, you got a little bit of time to get to lunch. You know, sometimes these things, this is an easy one.
Yeah.
Sometimes they run long.
Yeah.
You know.
We didn't vote on that. They're gonna run long.
Okay, that's cool. It's got okay. All right, I think I'm hearing consensus around the 10 to 12 time frame. And would that be then for the full board as well as committee? Is that kind of what we're contemplating? Gives us time to work out in the morning.
Yeah,
that's fine. I can
appreciate that. I appreciate that. Okay, so I think we accomplished that. Do we need to litigate location right now or no? We want to make sure that it's as fair and balanced at all. If we can even make sure that we have access to somewhere in the middle.
If you could do South County and North County, Middle County.
All right.
El Toro somewhere.
I'll go ahead and before we adjourn, I'll just do another round robin. Any other final comments, thoughts? Nancy? Okay, you're good, Francis?
I would just say if we talk about location maybe in the future, I would love to see in every center, right, an opportunity for the director to come out and talk about what they're doing. I think, I've heard somebody that's newer, it's good to see it. To me, that would be impactful as we talk about
great.
These
spaces. Great, good idea. Really good idea.
Yeah.
And then also maybe having guest presentations, right, to kind of think about how do we become part of it.
Sorry, to piggyback on that, if anyone wants to stay after and see this center too, we have to take you around so you can see the other half of the center.
Good job.
Thank
you, everyone.
Can we kind of have a...
Yes, we're going to go around. We're going to go around. Rob?
Yes.
Just what are... We have the South County Center, which we're at. We have the Brea, which we were at last time.
Yeah.
Are there any other centers now?
As far as our centers, no.
And then are there any other one-stop centers?
Well, in the region, there are the two, right? Anaheim and Santa Ana are their own workforce boards and have their own centers,
right.
Their workforce centers. We do provide, we have like affiliate locations, right, where we go into someone else, some other organization to provide services, but they're not our facilities.
Okay, got it. Okay, thank you.
Cool. Okay. I'd like to comment on the job there that I sent
you
the other
day. Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Whoever put that together did a wonderful job.
Yeah, we got to take credit. But it was absolutely,
I was blown away. Yeah. I went over and I thought, all right, I'm going to see this like 6 or 7 job tables. And it was incredible. And the turnout was absolutely equal.
Yeah.
I do have a question.
Sure.
And this is not a loaded question, it's just a question. Is there a way that we can get those kinds of things advertised on television as a community service announcement? Have we ever looked at it? Because I'd like to see that publicized a lot more.
Yeah, so we have challenges with how we can use our funding as far as like outreach, right? So television, radio advertisement is not something we can use our funding for, but we do use like our network to really spread the word. Like the supervisors typically really champion the events when they're in their districts, and they're big voices for us. Like Katrina Foley, the supervisor of Fifth District, was championing the event for us, right? And she's very active as a supervisor, but we do kind of lean on the board offices to support us. We do a lot of email and campaigning and newsletters and that kind of avenue. But as far as like television ads and radio ads, we're kind of limited with our funding. Maybe a partner sometimes has funding that they can use. We do in the works have a regional job fair, which we do have a different funding source. So we may be able to do something with that. And that's going to be with our workforce board in Anaheim and Santa Ana. So there may be some potential there for some more extensive outreach, because it's going to be a little bit larger scale. But as far as like our funding, we're kind of bound by what we can spend money on.
Chris, I have a friend that used to work for Cox.
Okay. Yeah, they used to do public service.
And they used to do public service announcements at no cost.
That's something we can take advantage of.
And I don't know if they're still doing it or not, but I'm going to ask it.
They just gave us $100,000. Advertising. They just gave us $100,000.
That's
wonderful.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
We used to do IBW stuff around the holidays, you know, tree light safety and all that. And they would just show them on public television, Cox, or any of the public stations.
That's an action item. I was remiss for not mentioning that, in terms of the numbers, more than 70 employers came, so phenomenal job team, and then more than 150 people showed up with 8 people hired on the spot by Macy's and other levels of activity. Brittany did send me some pictures. I'll forward them to you. Feel free to share them to your networks, right? So the post promotion is also quite critical to get people excited about what else is coming about.
So participants, I think it was higher. You know, I think what happened is that a lot of people didn't sign
when they came.
I thought it was
good number.
So it looked like more. It did look like more.
It's a good job. Really.
Wait, one more note. Yeah. Have we looked into DMV or is DMV something? They have the monitors. And I was sitting and getting my 6-year-old license, and I could not believe how that is such an amazing advertising opportunity. So I don't know if that would be the same as far as TV and using our funding with the DMV, but they have packages that they will sell, where we can put those job fairs up on the monitors, because you're sitting there for hours waiting anyway.
Yes.
So it's really kind of I read every ad during the entire time I was there. Thanks, that helps. Just a little good,
Bob, you have a state connection there for the DMV?
No, we're a different agency.
Oh, yeah.
It's not enough. Let's find somebody.
They're rivals for money.
Okay. All right, we'll go with Bill Carlson.
Yeah, one more, just a request.
Yeah.
When I received my agenda, I noticed that everything was just, I didn't know what had been changed and what had not been changed. And then when I saw the new one, with all the color out and scratch out, could we have our regular packet have that kind of detail?
The red line packet always includes a red line, but we just missed the red line for the WEX. So we'll play that. Absolutely.
It usually happens.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Thank you so much, Bill. Carlos.
No, guys, looking at the schedule, the time on the bottom.
Oh, sorry, I did not take those.
Yeah.
So we're going to do 10 to 12. Keep this as a placeholder. We'll get a more revised version of that shortly. Thank you for the feedback. Really appreciate it. Raj, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And from the historical perspective, like when we had a public access channel in Orange County, they would invite us periodically when we were advertising either a job there or in Kent. But when that went away, the LA market never invited us.
They don't invite
us. Let me ask you this just as a blanket question for the staff. If there are resources that won't cost us money, can we bring them to you and see how we might leverage?
Yeah, I mean, we have to vet it. I didn't ask to go through the approval process, but yeah, if there's no cost involved, then we're interested.
Wonderful. Having said that, I just want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving week. May you all have a wonderful time with your families and food. Thank you all for making this a wonderful meeting. We're going to adjourn at 9:30. See you next week.
Thank you.
The next
meeting